Hello, welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show, where we'll be discussing leadership, business, and human potential, inspiring you to live rich from the inside out. Unlock your creativity, stretch out of your comfort zone, break through your barriers, take inspired action, and achieve epic results. Now, here's your host, two-time best-selling author, speaker, and certified executive coach, Deborah Kosowski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show, where we talk about leadership, business, and human potential. And today, I am honored to have my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Gans Ferenc, as our special guest today. He holds a PhD in counseling psychology and a master's in arts in developmental and educational psychology from Andrews University in Michigan. In addition, he is former public education coordinator, as well as former vice president of the Psychologists Association of Alberta. For over 25 years, he's been helping individuals, couples, families, and corporations reduce their stress, improve their relationships, and enjoy more success. Dr. Gans is a favorite on media and over the past 12 years has been interviewed by the Edmonton Journal, CBC Radio, 630 CHED, Good Morning Canada, CTV News, Psychology Today, Ebony Magazine, and many more media outlets. He's also been a regular in health and lifestyle panel expert on Alberta Prime Time for over 5 years. His deep belief in positive psychology helps you be your very best. Dr. Gans presents his information in a straightforward, down-to-earth, no-nonsense way. Dr. Gans prides himself on being a fellow work in progress and does not present anything he has not personally put in the blood, sweat, and tears into. And this approach has made him a sought-after public speaker with audiences in the United States and Canada, enjoying his fun, engaging, and life-changing presentations on beating stress and building superior relationships. And Dr. Gans, I am so excited and thank you for joining us on the show today.
Hey, Deb, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm just going to pop in and you learned something from a 90s star about dealing with difficult people. So what do you do when you're dealing with a difficult person who's freaking out when they're on your team or they're your coworker or in your business? Like, what do you do?
Well, you know, so the 90s action star I'm talking is Steven Seagal. So a lot of people have seen some movies, you know, he's a guy with a ponytail, he used to be in the ponytail in the 90s. His particular approach, his martial art, Aikido. And the whole idea of Aikido is that you absorb the opponent's energy, then you redirect on purpose. So it doesn't matter how big they are, bigger they are, and the harder they come, the harder they fall, kind of thing. Aikido. And so when you're dealing with difficult people, that there are a lot of lessons we can learn from this approach of dealing with violent people. One of them is you need to validate first. So you need to absorb that at you. When we meet force with force or try to argue our way out of a difficult situation, what happens is that unconsciously we tend to dig in. We don't always know that we're doing it, but we tend to dig in and try to prove our point. So if your coworker or friend or spouse is having a hard time, and if you push against it, you say, well, no, it's not that bad. Or, well, let me tell you how bad it is for me. Or, no, calm down, right? They will not feel validated themselves. And then what they will do is they will continue to push their point, feel validated. So a simple approach is validate what they're doing. That must be really, really hard for you. Tell me more about that. The interest and allow them to express whatever it is that they're at that time. Don't resist. Don't fight against it. Don't defend yourself. Just listen. And then what it does is their whole system, their whole body, their mind, all their fight or flight alarm, all their anger calms down, and then you can actually make a little bit of a change and suggest a different path or do whatever you need to do. So that's the first step that you can do to deal with difficult people.
So validating. And I know none of us have ever done that. I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, he must have been looking in the house window and watching a conversation, thinking, oh yeah, there's been times I'm like, really? And you want to push, you really do want to push your point to say, you know what, you're just coming up with excuses, or you're not going after something. You're doing all the talk and not going after. But what you find out is you are ending up butting heads. And it's like, this isn't how I want the conversation to go. But, and then people get more defensive in that conversation. And not saying that these conversations happen all the time, but in different circumstances, you want to impress your point. But then at the same time, you can find yourself in that no-win situation and everybody's frustrated and it just escalates.
Absolutely. And typically what happens is we end up, so we start off with arguing about whatever, where the point that we're making is we come across angry. We come back with anger or defensiveness. And then we start arguing about the different layers. Well, you shouldn't talk to me this way. Well, you shouldn't talk to me this way. Well, I remember when you talked to me last week and it was like this. And you know what I mean? Before you know it, you got 15 layers of stuff. And you forget the actual point. Everybody's frustrated. Nothing gets accomplished, right? Yeah. So it really does help. And, you know, one of the things that really helps me to remember this is that, you know, you want to connect before you correct, right? Mm-hmm. So you connect before you correct. So you need to validate, connect with a person on a heart level, connect with a person on an emotional level. So validating where they're coming from. And then once things are settled, then you are a much better position to make any kind of correction, of course, that you might need to do in the relationship or with each other. You know, Stephen Covey, the guy who wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, this is one of his habits, is seek first to understand, mm-hmm. then to be understood. But I think most of us do it the other way around, but both people are trying to be understood, and yeah. You know, it's not always good.
Yeah. And that's where I think the power of having questions, but you got to be careful how you phrase those questions, because if I use how come you did that? Or why would you think of doing something like that? You get people on the defensive. So what I've learned is you can't use those questions. Or if you do, you really got to be very careful in how you phrase those.
Absolutely. You know, the things I tell people in my practice and, you know, in my is when you want to ask a question, you really want to look, you want to avoid absolutes. Why do you always do this? Or how come you never do this, right? I mean, mm-hmm. right away you're attacking the other individual. But one of the strategies that I use and I teach people is, if you need to have a conversation about something, let's say you guys are in some sort of deadlock or some fight, it's kind of like fixing your car when you start down the road. Let's say you're driving, you know, on the highway and you hear it starts to knock. Pull over to the side of the road and pull out your tools, start taking apart your engine. Bad stuff's going to happen. You're going to burn your hands. You're probably going to run, and you're not going to get, you know, you're going to be stuck on the side of the road. It's not good to deal with something when it's hot. Much better to drive home, let everything cool off. Then you can start taking it apart. Relationships and interactions, but fix stuff when it's hot, let it cool down, de-escalate it. When it's calm, then you can actually address it. How you address it is you invite the person to come in and address something. So, Deb, do you mind? I really have something I'd like to talk to you about. It's going to take about 15 minutes or so, and it's not anything bad. I just noticed there's something going on in our relationship. I'd like it to be better. Mm-hmm. And would you be okay with tomorrow at 5 o'clock sitting down with me for 15 minutes and having us discuss it? If 5 o'clock doesn't work, give me a time that might work for you.
Yeah.
And so you're inviting them in. You're also setting up the context of it so they don't feel like they're ambushed, mm-hmm. and you're giving them a choice. And right away, you've reduced a lot of tension in the relationship right away. And then it's much better chance you're going to have a successful interaction.
And dealing with difficult people, it's something that I don't think anyone avoids, because I remember when I first got into a management and leadership position, you know, they were telling me, you know, there's times for a leadership time and there's management time. And one of the things that I had to write in one of my performance conversations years ago was I needed to improve in people management. What that meant really was to really get involved in having those difficult conversations. And at first I dreaded them, but they came fast and furious as soon as I inked it. And I swore that I'll never ink something like that again, but it was the greatest learning opportunity. And I'm not fearful of those conversations, because they can happen in people's families. They happen in businesses with customers. They happen with vendors and suppliers. They happen in many situations through our lives, but it's really important to have the strategies, like you said, to really be able to validate and connect with people before we convince them that our way is the right way, you know. So really, really important. So what to do with the away game that helps you deal with difficult people?
Okay, so again, going back to my buddy Steven Seagal. Okay, so one of the things he was always criticized for in his movies was he was pretty deadpan, right? He was pretty blank in the face, not a lot of facial expression and not a lot of tone. But that's actually a really good approach when you're dealing with difficult people, is to be very calm in yourself. You need to be calm in yourself before you go into a hot situation. A lot of times we go in hot. And so if we're hot and they're hot, it's much more difficult to have a good interaction with them, right? So one of the things you can do, like there's several things you can do away from the game, but one of them is like right before you know you're going to have a difficult conversation, or even if you are ambushed and it comes at you, the first thing you can do is actually stop and take a breath, right? So you breathe all the way down to your diaphragm if you can, feel your feet on the floor. Take a moment before you respond. If you know you're going into a difficult situation, do that before you walk into the room or before you start the conversation with somebody. Take a few minutes, get yourself grounded, and then start to talk. If you're ambushed, take a moment in the middle. You don't have to answer right away. It's okay. And then you can do the validation and start that process. So that's one of the things that you can do to, like, right before the game, so to speak, that will help you be successful. And there are tons more.
So I had read somewhere, maybe I was even in conversation with you, that when you take that breath, what it does is it interrupts the way your brain is thinking. And all of a sudden you have this extra oxygen flow. But not only that, it's like giving yourself a pause.
Absolutely. You know, if you really want to go a little further with that, if you can force yourself to yawn, that's even better. Because what that does actually relaxes all your body and really floods your brain with oxygen. And it really does interrupt that kind of fight or flight or anger type of vortex you might be in before you go into that difficult situation. So, yeah, it does. It interrupts it and gives your brain the oxygen and gives you a much better chance of success.
Yeah. So how do you stay sane? Like some people, I think they have these, when you think of different professions, they have these conversations on a regular basis. And I'm just thinking of union representatives and different parts of organizations like labor relations and things like that. They have a lot of those, but even as an entrepreneur as well, how do you not take those difficult conversations when things aren't going right home with you?
So there are things you can do before you get into that conversation, like away from the game at the beginning. And that is, you know, look after yourself, make sure you're eating properly, make sure you have lots of rest, exercise regularly. This is the kind of stuff that keeps you healthy. The better, the more physically healthy you are, the more emotionally healthy you are, the better you're going to be when the crisis is on. It's you know, then you're just yourself, you know, you're more in crisis. So you want to make sure yourself is good and healthy and calm and well-rested and well-fed. After the situation, important to understand or recognize and acknowledge that it was a difficult situation and it did require that I had to expend more than usual. And so I need to take my time and re-enter my regular life in a different way. And so again, taking that breath, sitting in the chair, closing your eyes, or sitting in your car, feeling your butt in the seat, feeling your hands on the steering wheel, just some sort of conscious and deliberate break from what you were just doing helps you to reset. Something that I use a lot, I journal. I write in my journal like almost daily. And that really does help me to offload a lot of stuff that I might take on during the day or during the week. And then I'm able to take that out, and then I'm able to get more settled and be better with that. You know, as a psychologist, I've got to plug my profession, right? So I also talk to a psychologist or a couple psychologists, and I have for about 25, 27 years now. And that's another thing, another resource I use when I'm dealing with difficult people, or, you know, sometimes my job is dealing with difficult people. And so having someone that I trust, that I feel safe with, that I can also debrief with, really does help me to stay calm and stay sane, you know, and you know, extend the longevity of my career and also make me more successful in the immediate sense.
Yeah. And what I'm also hearing, because we've talked about this outside of this, is that you deal with a lot of heavy stuff, right? As a psychologist, not only can you be maybe working with difficult people, but hearing difficult situations and wanting to help people, and, you know, and it might be even difficult at the times when they don't want to help themselves. How do you navigate that when you have that someone doesn't want to help themselves?
Yeah, well, you know what, look, you know, at the end of the day, we have to let people walk their path. And so I understand my role in this whole thing. This is the same thing with whether you're a mom or a dad or a spouse or an entrepreneur, or a business owner, manager, it doesn't really matter. It's important for us to understand what our part is in the larger scheme of things, right? I am a small part of somebody's life. I might be an important part. I might be able to make an influence, but at the end of the day, they're the ones that have to walk the path that they're on. And so when I talk to somebody, when I counsel somebody or give them advice, or, you know, just even just listen to them, I understand that I'm planting a seed, I'm making a contribution, but then I got to let it go. I got to let the whole thing be what it is. And this is what we have to do sometimes as managers. When you see somebody in trouble and you see sort of a consistent line of behavior, and you know they're heading for somewhere bad, you can try to help them, you can try to redirect them, but if they don't want to listen, they don't want the help.
Yeah.
The wall.
And what I like is that you don't take that personally. And I'm just gonna throw in the book, The Four Agreements. That one of the things, and I find it very fascinating, because it took me a little bit to figure this out, that when, whether it be positive information or negative information, when someone's directing it to us, and this is even with difficult people, is that it's not my stuff. And I need to remember that that's other people's stuff. And even if it's positive, and they say, hey, Deb, you look great in that outfit, I would love to hang on to that forever, right? But at the same time, it's their perception. Another person might come by and say that they don't like it. And I could say, so, well, that hurts my feelings. Mm-hmm. However, again, it's their stuff. So how do you help people move through that, realizing that there's good and bad, but what do we own?
Right. Well, you know, it's in a weird way, it's helping people understand, acknowledge, and accept their power. Okay, because that's what you're talking about, is actual power. When you understand who you are and you have healthy boundaries, you are a powerful person, because then nothing can influence you without your consent, right? Mm-hmm. You know, stuff comes at us all the time in the world, but we have a choice in terms of how we want to respond to it and act. Well, we theoretically have a choice. If we don't know we have a choice, we just react, right? But we do have that opportunity to slow down, take a breath, think about what we want to do, and act out what makes sense for us. But it's not so much in the moment as it is in what we practice on a regular basis. If we practice being a certain way, then when the crisis comes or the pressure's on, we're going to be that way, because that's who we are, right? Yeah. So it's really practicing to be the kind of person we want to be. So if we want to be somebody who is immune to the opinions of others, okay, we have to practice with, like you said, the good, I like the dress, or the bad, oh, that's an ugly dress, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be to both of them and say, well, you know, thank you for that lovely comment on the good side, or, you know, the feedback on the bad side, right?
Yeah.
But we don't have to own it. You know, one of the things I do with my clients is we do a little bit of a visualization, and we do it a couple different ways. We can either, you know, I have sometimes have people imagine that they're like, they either have a shield, like a force field, like on Star Trek, where the comments or the opinions or whatever comes in and we control it. We can make it permeable so we can let it in and check it out, or we can just block it out and let it go around us. Right. And when they visualize that, it really does help them to really feel that sense of independence and feel that sense of power. Mm-hmm. The other one is just imagine yourself as transparent. So stuff comes in and it can go right through. It might hit you, but it goes right through. There's nowhere for it to stick. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's a nice way to be free of those sorts of influences.
Yeah. And I can see how that same concept relates to the difficult person, because sometimes when they're being difficult, they are really intentionally being hurtful. And when you see where they're coming from and notice that it is their stuff, that you don't have to take it personally and realize maybe, you know, like you said, when it's hot, to say, whoa, 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 let's step back. And I think it's really important, because I know another topic that you talk a lot about is beating burnout, especially for business owners, who a lot of our listeners are. What really is stress? Like, dealing with difficult people is stress, but there's more to stress than just dealing with difficult people. What is it in your viewpoint?
Well, there's a couple different ways stress impacts us, right? So there is the generalized idea of stress, which is really stress is the physiological response to change. So when we change, it is stressful. So when they've done those stress scales, one of the things that ranks highest on those stress scales is winning the lottery. So, you know, I'd like to experience that kind of stress once in a while, but you know what I mean? But it is very stressful, because it changes a lot of stuff if you win the lottery, especially if you win big.
Yeah.
So it is any change can create physiological stress in our system. Then, of course, there's the stress we kind of know that's coming, like the difficult person or the car accident or the fight with the spouse or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But there's also sort of the burnout stress or the exhaustion stress that comes from just going too long and becoming depleted. And so when we deplete ourselves, as we're depleting ourselves, we doing the same amount of work takes more effort, more energy, longer, and causes more stress in our system, and that depletes us further. So it's this wicked snowball rolling down the hill. This gets bigger and bigger and faster and faster. Mm-hmm. So we really want to cut that off, break that cycle, and do something different so that we don't head to burnout and have to dig ourselves out of a bigger hole.
Because then it affects your body, but also that it affects really your performance, how you're not showing up the way you want to when you're under stress. And some people say, you know, well, I'm under stress, I perform better. But there's a certain tipping point. And I know that you, we've talked about the me factor. And I remember you talking one time about champagne glasses and the overflow of cascade. But what are some things that people need to start realizing that, you know, when stress is impacting their performance, what kind of things should they be doing?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just going to back up for a second, because people think the more stress they have or the harder they try, the better their performance goes up, right? But it's actually not a straight line like that. It's actually a U like this. So to some extent, when they wake up, they start to do better. But once you hit a sweet point, there's a sweet spot on that curve where that's your optimal performance. And that is relaxed awareness is what that is, right? Or, you know, if you're an athlete or a musician, you call it the zone, where you're almost, you know, you don't have to think about stuff. Stuff just flows, right? That's where you get your absolute best performance. And then if there's more stress in the system or more effort in the system, our performance actually starts to fall off. So it's important for us to recognize that so that we manage our stress both at the time and leading up to whatever it is we're going. I favor, honestly, and what I try to do is I favor looking after yourself, being prepared all the time. Now, that doesn't mean I'm looking around the corner all the time, wondering where the stress is coming from. What it means is I practice stillness. I practice calm. I practice being gentle and generous with myself, eating regularly. Like one of the things I tell my clients is set your clock, set your alarm on your phone, your countdown timer for 3 hours. Get up in the morning, eat something, hit go. When it goes off again, eat something else, hit go. You do that 4 or 5 times in a day, it stabilizes your blood sugar, stabilizes your hormones, and stabilizes your mood, and also stabilizes your brain functioning. Life becomes easier just by eating several times a day, just by making sure you got enough glucose in your system, right?
Yeah.
Sleeping regularly is important. You know, our culture tends to cheat ourselves. We cheat ourselves on sleep all the time. But, you know, one study I saw, this was actually done by the American Automobile Association. They said if you miss 1 hour of sleep one night, your chances of being in an accident goes up almost doubles.
Okay? Wow.
By 1 hour, one night. If you miss 4 or 5 hours in one night, your chance of being in an accident goes up by 10 times. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's one night. The cumulative effect of that is pretty astounding.
Yeah.
But we undervalue sleep in our culture.
Yeah. We take it for granted. And I think that's why you hear people like Arianna Huffington really pushing, because she had an experience where she just collapsed, right?
Yeah.
From having lack of sleep. And that sleep, we do take it for granted. And, you know, I had never been a napper. And it wasn't until recently that every so often, it doesn't happen probably enough, that I allow myself to put my head down, but then I realize it was 3 hours later and then I panic, thinking, I wasted all this time. I have so much to accomplish, but it was actually something I needed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, because that's exactly the reaction people have. Oh no, I got too much stuff to do. I can't. Oh my goodness. Right. But the truth is, you know, and many people, and I also heard the term, the law of diminishing return. And basically the law of diminishing returns says, as you stick with one thing for a long time, it gets less efficient as you go forward. But we think that we have all this stuff to accomplish, so I can't stop to rest or to sleep or to do any of these other things. So what we do is we keep going, we keep pushing, we get less efficient as we go, we get more tired, we make more mistakes, it costs us more energy to try to. Whereas if we do exactly what you did, I'm going to put my head down for a second, it's about to be 3 hours, right? And you get back up. Well, all of a sudden, you go back to the beginning of that whole cycle of the law of diminishing returns, and you become extra efficient. So even though you took time out of the system to stop and to rest or to sleep, the time you now have becomes way more efficient. And you actually get a lot more accomplished with the breaks than if you push through all the way.
Yeah. It's that sustainability. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Also, I know you are a big fan of playtime, and as business leaders and entrepreneurs and just leaders in the community, what do you mean by play? We have so much to do, but what does play do for us?
Yeah, well, again, play is that little break, but it's on steroids, right? So what play does is it gives that. Typically, when we're working, we're using sort of the left side of our brain, the logical side, the number side, the verbal side, and so we work a lot on that side of the brain. When we play, it opens up our whole brain and really exercises the right brain as well. And so we get to be creative, we get to laugh. It helps oxygen get to our brain, and we're breaking that cycle of, kind of locked mind, you know, where you get locked into a, like almost tunnel vision around a problem or whatever it is. It breaks that up and opens your brain up. It's almost like it lets it breathe. And then you'll be surprised at what kind of inspiration comes, what kind of insights come, what kind of solutions show up. So playing is anything. Well, my psychologist defined it this way: matters absolutely in the moment and after mean anything at all. And so just do something for fun and it's meaningless. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of like that big breath that you talked about earlier, right? Taking that deep breath before you go into a situation and really being able to be mindful of what is moving forward. But when you play, it's like a big breath to your day, and it creates that sustainability. And, you know, I think burnout and entrepreneurs and, you know, business leaders, as they climb up, sometimes they say that they feel so much alone and they're working so hard to get to where they want to, that they don't always take that break. And I'm sure you probably see a lot of burnout coming, especially in today's age when people are worried about the economy, and entrepreneurs know that they can create their own economy, but they are burning the candle at both ends. And sometimes what they're sacrificing is their time with their families, time with just friends, and really eating healthy and exercising and enjoying all those things. So when you start, when you have someone that you can sit back and you're like, oh, I think they're coming close to burnout, what are some of the things that you first talk to them about?
Well, I really talk to them about, you know, well, depending, because I may have to talk them off, right? Because they might be really, really close to burnout. So first thing, talk about sleep. Sleep is number one. Eat, do exercise, number three, and mindset's number four. Be in place. You need to get regular sleep. You need to eat regularly. Exercise at least three times a week. And then, yeah, you really need to look at a positive mindset, because if you don't do those things, then you will, like, physically break down, not just emotionally break down. You'll also, like, this is when you're dealing with heart attacks or, you know, other health stroke or different things like that, right? But I'll, once that settled, they're safe, then we talk about your, what is it that you're doing and why. So a lot of people, we want to build businesses or move up in our careers or, you know, get an education or do different things. A lot of times, you know, couples will want to build a dream house. But what happens is, if we forget that these endeavors, these goals that we have, are really a means to an end and not the end in themselves, then we'll sacrifice our well-being, our happiness, our health, the relationships we care about, just to get the job accomplished. I've seen couples build their dream house and then get divorced before they move into it, because wow, they beat each other up in the process of building it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They got so task oriented that they forgot that it's really about the relationship, you know. Or I've seen, you know, typically men, but sometimes women too, but they'll harden their career and they'll, you know, not be around for their wives, their kids, and so they achieve all this stuff, or then they get divorced, they're always in trouble. So the money they've made now has to go in college fund, it becomes a legal defense fund, you know what I mean? Because around for their kids. So it's really figuring out what these are and being mindful of that as you create the life you want to pursue your goals.
So what you're really saying, that your success toolbox really has to come down to the very basic, very simple structures of making sure that you're eating enough, make sure that you're sleeping, and that you have that mindfulness and really that positive mindset and that exercise to really look after you in order to get to where you want to be.
Well, to get to where you want to be, and then to get to enjoy it.
Yes.
Because sometimes you can get there, but the cost is too high, right? The cost is too high. And so you get to sustain it, and you also get to enjoy it while you're there.
Yeah. And I think we get so focused, and I can catch myself as well, focused on the end game, reaching that goal line, and just like, yes, you want to just celebrate victory, but also being mindful of why you're doing it. And I know you have always taught me, Deb, it's not about just the destination. Make sure you're enjoying the journey along the way. So I always have your words playing in my mind regularly to remember, there's something that you need to learn, something you need to enjoy, and make sure you're having fun in the process.
We always do better when we have fun and we live life with passion, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's better than when we just put it. Yeah.
And I really appreciate you talking about this, because I do know, you know, this is everything you talk about is from personal experiences. Because you face stress regularly. you have a family that you care for and love, and we're not, none of us are immune to having stresses in our lives. You know, I know you're a big basketball fan, and I know you like the martial arts, and so I know that you do all these things to help keep that balance, and I often look at you as a role model too by seeing you practice these things.
Yeah, it is really important to have those other pieces. Not only do they help you stay balanced and your goals, but this is the juice of life, right? We're going to enjoy ourselves and have fun. If we're not doing that, then the other stuff.
So how can people stay in touch with you? Get a glimpse of more about Dr. Gans. I know you have some products, some other things on the go. Can you share some of that with us and how they can stay in touch with you?
Sure. The best way to get in touch with me is through my website. And I just put together a new website a couple months ago. So it's drgans.com. So doctor spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R, Gans, G-A-N-Z or G-A-N-Z, depending on which country you're in, .com. And on the website, you can see there are some of my media clips and audios. I also have different products talking, you know, you mentioned the Me Factor. I've got something on communication. Definitely have one on called Beating Burnout for Women. Works for men too, by the way. So the different things that you can, different resources that you can use that you can get a hold of through the.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on our show. You are such an amazing guest. Dealing with difficult people doesn't have to be hard. Keeping yourself away from burnout doesn't have to be hard. So we're really grateful for having you on our show. And I know many of the leaders, business owners, executives are going to really cherish the words that you have to say. Again, go to www.drgans.com to learn more about how you can have a piece of Gans at home and help you keep your mindset in the right space. Thank you again, Dr. Gans. And for those of you out there listening, thanks, Gans. We would love to hear from you. Go over to iTunes. Give us a 5-star high five. Give us a review. Let us know how these nuggets, like Dr. Gans has shared with you. You can email me at Deborah@DeborahKozowski.com. I will be forwarding any of your comments to him so that he can know about the value that you get from listening to this podcast. It is so important that when we bring on these guests, we're bringing them for you. I'm always on the search for people who will best serve this community to help you really truly grow and live rich from the inside out. Again, you can go over to my website at www.DeborahKozowski.com. Thank you for listening to The Millionaire Woman Show and watching us here on YouTube. And what I want you to remember, as Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world and go out and make today great.